Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 10. Text 27 and 28. I didn't realize there's a purport to 27. Yeah, 27 and 28, same thing. Utsish rikshor dhatu malam.
Utsish rikshor dhatu malam.
Dhara bhidhyata vai gudam. Tatha payustato mitra.
Tatha payustato mitra.
Utsarga ubayashraya.
Utsarga ubayashraya.
Any of the ladies getting initiated? Taking initiation? No. I was going to make that part of the initiation exam. You have to recite the verse. Anyone else like to try? Utsisriksho.
Utsisriksho.
Designed to evacuate.
Designed to evacuate.
Tatu malam.
Tatu malam.
Refuse of edibles.
Refuse of edibles.
Funny word that. Refuse or refuse? English is a funny language, huh? Where you stress the vowel. I guess any language. But we have exactly the same spelling word. For read and read. I read a book and I read a book. Nirabhidyata.
Nirabhidyata.
Became open.
Became open.
Vai.
Vai.
Certainly.
Certainly.
Gudam.
Gudam.
The evacuating hall.
The evacuating hall.
Tataha.
Tataha.
Thereafter.
Thereafter.
Payuhu.
Payuhu.
The evacuating sense organ.
The evacuating sense organ.
Tataha.
Tataha.
Thereafter.
Thereafter.
Mitraha.
Mitraha.
The controlling demigod.
The controlling demigod.
Utsargaha.
Utsargaha.
The substance evacuated.
Substance evacuated.
Bhaya.
Bhaya.
Both.
Both.
Ashrayaha.
Ashrayaha.
Shelter.
Shelter.
Translation. Thereafter, when he desired to evacuate the refuse of edibles, the evacuating hole, anus, and the sensory organ thereof developed along with the controlling deity Mitra. The sensory organ and the evacuating substance are both under the shelter of the controlling deity. Purport. Even in the matter of evacuating stool, the refuse is controlled. So how can the living entity claim to be independent? Text 28. Asisripsho pura purya nabidvaram apanataha tatra panas tato mrityu pritakram ubayashrayam. Thereafter, when he desired to move from one body to another, the navel and the air of departure and death were combinedly created. The navel is the shelter for both, namely death and the separating force. Purport. The pranavayu continues the life, and the apanavayu stops the living force. Both the vibrations are generated from the abdominal hole, the navel. This navel is the joint from one body to the other. Lord Brahma was born of the abdominal hole of Garbhadakshaya Vishnu as a separate body, and the same principle is followed even in the birth of any ordinary body. The body of the child develops from the body of the mother. And when the child is separated from the body of the mother, it is separated by cutting the navel joint. And that is the way the Supreme Lord manifested himself as separated many. Living entities are therefore separated parts, and thus they have no independence. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Karameham Darati Swaparantikam Namasrishtam Unumapi Sachiputra Matra Swarupam Rupam Tasya Garajam Rupurim Maturingo Stavritim Radha Kundagiri Varamaho Radhika Maravahasam Praptoya Sapatita Kripaya Sri Gurum Tam Natosmi. So finally we get to the lower regions of the anatomy, and desiring to evacuate and desiring to procreate and to evacuate and to transfer from one body to another, the Lord is still sending superintendents, still sending managers, still sending somebody to control as a secondary controller, mitra as a controller of the evacuating of the rectum. And the purpose is, or the lesson that we're gaining from this section of Srimad Bhagavatam is that we're not independent, that we're dependent. We're dependent on Vayu and on Mitra and on Indra and on Shiva and on Lord Brahma and on so many demigods. We're dependent for opening and closing the eyes, for hearing, for lifting, for holding, for touching, for scratching, for pinching, for eating, for chewing, for sucking, for licking, for digesting, for everything that we do, everything that the human being can possibly think and be and do, we're dependent. But we claim our independence. It's a sign of advancement for civilization to become dependent on God, to understand or to recognize or to acknowledge our dependence on the Supreme Lord. And that is the place where the night before, unfortunately I couldn't go last night, but the night before, His Holiness Devamrita Swami began his very empowering and enlightening and entertaining and penetrating presentation of becoming dependent on Krishna. And he started, if you remember, he started with Queen Kunti, 8th chapter of the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And Queen Kunti was begging the Lord, petitioning the Lord, on behalf of Yudhisthira Maharaj, on behalf of the Pandavas, to please stay. How can we go? If you go, we don't have anything. We're completely dependent. There's a series of verses towards the end of that chapter which just talk about dependence. The dependence of the Pandavas on Krishna. The dependence of Kunti on Krishna. That they understand that nothing can happen. The trees can't survive without Krishna. That we can't get minerals from the hills without Krishna. That we can't take the jewels from the ocean without Krishna. The pearls from the ocean without Krishna. That we can't take the food, the grains from the fields without Krishna. That every aspect of our existence is dependent on Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Everything that we do, everything that we eat, everything that we offer is Krishna. It's Krishna's mercy. And Queen Kunti has this very, very profound realization that of her dependence, ashraya, on Krishna. This word is used in these verses at the moment. Ashraya, ashraye, tadashraye, and ubashraye. What is it? Ubayashrayam. Ubashrayaha. This is taking shelter. We understand that we have to take shelter. In the material world, everybody is dependent, but we're acting independent. We came here and claimed our independence. And as soon as we claim our independence, we begin to suffer. In the purports in the 8th chapter of the Bhagavatam, first canto of the Bhagavatam, Prabhupada very eloquently expresses this conundrum, this perplexity that the living entity is placed in due to this desire to claim independence, to become separated from God, to separate ourselves from the shelter of Krishna. And then what are the consequences of that? The consequences of that action, of that thought, of separation. It's misery, Prabhupada says, perplexity, complexity, miserable condition, because we don't have that, the protection or the shelter of the Supreme Lord. And we, in claiming our independence, we become bewildered and confused. And then Maharaj went on to introduce Yudhisthira Maharaj's petition, Yudhisthira Maharaj's realization of his dependence on the Lord and how that he completely depends upon Krishna for everything to help him to readjust his situation. Because he's in a confused position, as Arjuna was in a confused position at the beginning of the Bhagavatam. And Maharaj really nicely brought those two together, the beginning of the battle of Kurukshetra and the end of the battle of Kurukshetra with Arjuna and Yudhisthira, in a similar perplexed condition of bodily condition of life, or seemingly of being attached to this body. And what is Queen Kunti's prayer at the end of the 8th chapter of the Bhagavatam? Queen Kunti's prayer is that Sneha Pasham Imam Chindi, that please Krishna, sever this tight rope of affection that I have for the Pandus and the Rishis, great devotees of the Lord. Krishna has intimate connection with the Pandus and with the Rishis. And Kunti is connected with both, paternal and maternal. And she's saying, please sever this attachment with the Pandavas, with my sons, and the Vrishni dynasty. I don't want to have attachment for them anymore. Atavishvesha Vishvatma Vishvamurti Svakeshu. That Krishna, he's the independent Vishvatma, Vishveshva. He's the Supreme Lord of the universe. He's the soul, the Lord of the soul, in the heart, the living entity. Krishna's independent. She's claiming, she's declaring his independence. She understands Krishna's position, Queen Kunti. And she says, now to understand, because I understand your supreme position of independent nature, I want to become dependent on you. I understand that we're dependent on you. Prabhupada explains many, many places that the energy and the energetic, that there's a controller and a controlled. And those who are controlled, we have to surrender to the controller. And that is a superior being. Krishna, the demigods, some superior authority who's controlling us. So Prabhupada analyzes Queen Kunti's prayer, this Imam Sneham Pasham Chindi, that this prayer to sever the hard knot of attachment to her family members. And in the direct purport, Prabhupada says that this is Queen Kunti's revelation, her understanding of her dependence on Krishna. And in that purport, I believe he refers to this anatta and sanatta, that one who is without guidance, one who is without a Lord, anatta, who doesn't have any shelter, one who doesn't have shelter of the Supreme Lord, who's claiming independence, is in a dangerous position. And there, he said, rather, one who is sanata, one who has, who is with anatta, who is with the Lord, with the shelter, with a controller, who is acknowledged and accepted controller, they're in a safe position. I think Prabhupada uses something like that. That it's proper, a proper position to be in is to have this, to be with the Lord, to be with the shelter, to be with the guidance, to take shelter. Otherwise, without any shelter, we are, like I said the other day, like the homeless mind. We don't have any connection. We're dislocated. We've dislocated ourselves from the center, dislocated ourselves from the source. And there, Prabhupada also talks about, and here today, part and parcel, at the end of this purport, he talks about that the living entities are therefore separated parts, and thus they have no independence. This part and parcel, we call it these terms when they run together like this, as a collocation. These words that Prabhupada has termed this phrase, you can say, he's termed this phrase, part and parcel. It's not a very common phrase that's used, I wouldn't say. And many devotees have analyzed what it means that we are part and parcel of God, part and parcel of Krishna. What does it mean that we are a part and a parcel of the Lord? And here in this context means that the part is qualitatively the same as the parcel, as the whole thing, the whole being. We have qualitatively the same qualities, characteristics, inclinations, senses as the Supreme. Even dependence, because even though we're claiming that Krishna is the Swarat, that Krishna is Svatantra, he's completely independent, but Krishna becomes dependent on his devotees, on Queen Kunti. Queen Kunti's prayers kept Krishna in Hastinapur. He was obliged by her affection, by her offering, he was obliged to accept her request to remain for some days later. And then, of course, he will manifest his independent nature and leave, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu does in his lila. Specifically, after taking sannyas and his lila of traveling to South India. But the point that we need to understand here is that Krishna is the Supreme, the Svarat, independent, and we're dependent. And when we understand our dependence, we can become independent. When we understand that we are completely dependent on Krishna's mercy, then we can act independently, because we will act with the consciousness that what we do is for Krishna, what we do, what we offer is for Krishna, what we eat is for Krishna, what we say is for Krishna, what we think is for Krishna. That everything we do, and that independence is liberation. That independence comes from full shelter of Krishna. And then we can become interdependent. Then we can engage, you can say this is the level of vanashram, or social interaction. We become interdependent. With our independent nature, we make an offering, we make a contribution, we participate and contribute to society, to our community, to our organization, to our families, in a way which is dynamic, because that's the definition of bhakti. Bhakti, Prabhupada says in the first canto of Bhagavatam, in the second canto of Bhagavatam, is the transcendental dynamic nature of the soul. That's his definition of bhakti. The bhakti isn't something that you just feel, but bhakti is something you feel and you do. So you have a feeling, an emotional connect, a realization, a dependency, and then we do something as a response, an abhideya. We have a process for solidifying our understanding, our conviction, our realization, and that is activity. The activities that we perform in a particular type of a consciousness, in that sanata, with understanding, with shelter, with protection, with guidance. And therefore we are able to, when we contribute or when we interact with the material nature, we understand the potential of the material nature. We understand the purpose of the material nature. We understand how to utilize the material energy for its proper purpose and not exploit the material energy. Because for millions and millions of births we have this, we've cultivated and developed the exploitive mentality. How can I best engage this material energy in my service? How can I best exploit this material energy for my benefit, or the benefit of my family, or the benefit of my community? But we haven't understood, or we're coming to the point of understanding, that we need to shift that mentality, shift that consciousness to how can I use this material energy to glorify God, to glorify Krishna? How can I use my words to glorify Krishna? How can I use my ears to hear about Krishna and not to hear about all of the mundane wranglings of the material world that we are very attracted to? Reminiscence and all sorts of mental speculations and hankerings and unlimited lamentation. But when we transform that, when we transfer that tendency for hearing and for speaking into a spiritual energy, then we connect with that ashraya. That's the Devi Prakriti ashraya, with the spiritual energy of Krishna. And when we connect with that spiritual energy, like an iron rod in the fire, we take on the same quality of Krishna. And that part begins to expand its potential. The jiva begins to expand its potential to inspire and to encourage and to reflect the real nature of the soul. The pure nature of the soul becomes uncovered. And in that uncovered state becomes effulgent. So the devotees become very attractive. When people see the devotees, they become attracted by the devotees. They want to know, what are these people doing? I want to become a part of that organization. I'm not in, I want to be part of this. And they start to inquire. They start to find out, what is it? What makes you guys tick? Why are you so happy? One time when we had Rath Yatra here in Melbourne, many years ago, we were taking the small deities up Swanson Street, up towards one that goes across, not Latrobe, but one before that. Lonsdale Street. We got up to Lonsdale Street, and there was a boy there. We stopped. We were doing a big kirtan, and it was loud, and Korma Kabu and Andy Rudabu, a big group of devotees, a couple hundred devotees maybe. A lot of people. It was a big Rath Yatra. Nice sunny day, unusual for Melbourne. And we were having a good festival. And this boy started crying like anything. He's crying, crying, crying. And we were all happy. You know, we're smiling and he's, Jai Jagannath! And he's really depressed and he's sitting down like this. And then we didn't know what to do, so I went up to him and said, what happened? Yahuwah. And he says, I said, why is that sad? And he said, because you guys are so happy. So that makes you sad that we're happy. You can be happy, just chant Hare Krishna. And you can join us. And he said, no, my life is all messed up. And I want to be like you, but I can't be. And he was going on and on. So he joined us and he stayed with us for the whole rest of the parade. And he started to feel and experience some of the happiness of Lord Jagannath, of worshipping the Lord in the congregational chanting of the Lord. It said that if you walk beside the cart or in front of the cart or pushtataha, behind the cart, along with the cart, anywhere near the cart of Lord Jagannath, then you will become free from all sinful reactions and you achieve the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu by walking along with the cart. So he walked along with the cart and walked behind the cart and sometimes in front of the cart. So he felt some liberation for sure. He didn't come back to the temple, but he made some progress on that day. He got some prasadam. He experienced the bliss of the chanting. He experienced the bliss of the devotees. And that must have an effect. It has an effect on the conditioned soul, because they start to see that there's a different reality. That there's a reality beyond the miserable nature of claiming independence from the Lord. One time I was in a tutorial at university, studying first in a master's program, and there was all women practically, and the teacher was a male and I was a male. It was Vinda Cruz and myself and about six or seven women. And these women were like, they were independent women. The women's libbers, for sure. And so in the summertime, we'd finish up about 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, and they'd just go to the car park. In the wintertime, it was dark by 5 o'clock. And so they would wait for one, Vin or myself, to walk them to the car. Because they wanted protection, they wanted shelter in the car park. They didn't want to go there by themselves. Even together, they didn't want to go together. They wanted to have a male with them. But in the lecture, in the tutorial, they're talking about independence and how strong they are and how powerful they are. But as soon as the bell rang, it was, "Can you walk me to the car?" Very humble and meek. I said, "No, you're a strong lady, you're independent. You can walk yourself. You walk me to the car." That's their mentality. But this nature of being dependent is something that it's alien to us. We don't want to be dependent on anything. And it doesn't gel. It doesn't resonate. We want to be independent. We don't want to be dependent. But until we can really understand and appreciate Queen Kunti's prayer, her prayer to remain dependent, her prayer to become dependent on Krishna, and Srila Prabhupada's prayer that he wrote in Boston Harbor, that Krishna, you brought me here to this Western world, and these people are so covered over with the mode of ignorance and passion. Prabhupada could feel it coming from the harbor. He hadn't really walked into America yet, but he was feeling this heavy sense of tamagun and rajagun. And so how will they understand this message of Bhagavatam? How can this penetrate the heart of the conditioned soul who's rotting here in the material world, who thinks they're independent, who've given up their shelter? Is anatta, not anarthas, but anatta. They don't have any lord, they don't have any controller, except for themselves. They think that. So how will they accept this Bhagavatam? Jammadisayataha. How will they accept that Krishna is the supreme controller? Maya dyakshena prakriti. Suyate sacharacharam, that Krishna's controlling all living entities. The moving and the non-moving, he's a controller. Primary or secondary controller. How will they get that? How will they chant Hare Krishna? How will they worship the deity? How will they address the deity? How will they offer bhoga to the deity? Inconceivable, right? 1965, to think, how will these people worship Krishna like this? When Prabhupada installed Jagannath in San Francisco, the puja was very simple, right? And the whole procedure wasn't very sophisticated. Like today, we have very sophisticated, more sophisticated procedures. And Jagannath was offered a lamp. Because in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami says, when you offer a lamp to the Lord, or when you see the pujari offer the lamp to the Lord, and the face is lit up by the lamp, by seeing that lamp, that you will become also free from all sinful activity, from the sinful reaction of killing 10,000 brahmanas in the past. Imagine the karma you get for killing a brahmana. So killing 10,000 brahmanas, 10,000 brahmanas in the present, and 10,000 brahmanas in the future. So for killing all those brahmanas, by seeing the face lit by the lamp of the pujari, the lamp of the Lord's face, you will become free from all that reaction. So Prabhupada, understanding Rupa Goswami's library of inspirational verses in terms of the Panchanga Bhakti, in terms of Archana Padati, the worship of the deity, Prabhupada started this first arti with a candle, a big candlestick, and he circled it around Lord Jagannath, and then passed it to the next devotee. And the next devotee, Prabhupada was a devotee in those days. He was just like a temple devotee. He wasn't the founder acharya. He didn't have a big vyasasan. He was one of the devotees in the temple, serving out the prasadam and making the chapatis. So he offered the lamp to the next devotee in the temple. And one of the devotees remembers in the airport, there was a big kirtan happening in one of the airports, and there was an announcement made that all the devotees have to, they were paying obeisance or something, all the devotees have to move and clear the way. And Prabhupada got up and moved, and no one else, everyone was still paying their obeisance, and Prabhupada moved away, and he's saying, because they made the announcement, he's one of the devotees, he just moved away. So Prabhupada was offering the lamp, and the next devotee offered the lamp, and he said, this is puja. This is how we started the puja in ISKCON, by offering this candle to Jagannath. And then he said, everything has to be offered to Jagannath. That's the consciousness. Now that this form of the Lord has appeared, we have to, the Lord will accept our offering. So you have to offer everything. Offer your food, offer your clothes, offer your thoughts, offer everything to Jagannath. So the devotees would come and offer their jeans to Jagannath and offer whatever they had, whatever they brought, they would offer to Lord Jagannath. Because that's a custom. In India, definitely many Indian homes that I've stayed in, everything that comes into the house gets offered to the deity. Right? Isn't it? And especially in South India. We have good friends who we stay with in Chennai. And whatever they bring into the house goes straight to the, no matter what, a bike helmet, everything goes onto the altar. Shoe rack. One day we came back from the market with a shoe rack and on the back of the bike and all the stuff, you know, from the market shopping. And the shoe rack went on the altar. Everything. Supriya's results, her exam results, they go on the altar. First, and then they offer to go on the time, and then we read the results. She gets A+ for everything. Because they do that. She's a very intelligent young girl. They do that. Offer everything to Jagannath, to Gornitai. So we learn to do that. We learn to offer everything to Krishna. And when we take that as prasadam, when we take from the Lord, we become purified. And then we understand our dependence on Krishna. By doing that puja, by starting this understanding that we have to do things for the Lord, we begin to understand our we develop our understanding and our attraction and our affection for the Lord and for taking dependence, because it's a higher taste. It's a shift in our consciousness. I mentioned that the devotees, Queen Kunti and Yudhisthira Maharaj and exalted devotees, they have this capacity in Mother Yashoda to control Krishna, to bind Krishna, to capture Krishna. And in this way, Krishna becomes dependent on his devotees. So because we have this, we are part and parcel of Krishna. Krishna has that quality of also enjoying or experiencing or requiring to become dependent on his devotees. It's one of the qualities of pure bhakti also, pure devotional service, that the devotees can control the Lord. And that doesn't happen to everybody, Prabhupada explains. But many, only for those exalted devotees who have become completely free from attachment to the material body, free from the attachment to the concept of independence, free from the attachment to the concept of enjoying in this material world separately from the Lord. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in Chaitanya Leela, we have many, many examples of this attachment or becoming dependent on the Supreme Lord. When Lord Chaitanya took sannyas, when he converted Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, one great devotee in Jagannath Puri, And he became very attached to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he became very attached to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Lord Chaitanya had decided he's going to go for a tour of South India. He wants to leave Jagannath Puri. And this was too much for the devotees to contemplate, to think that Lord Chaitanya will be not there with him. And so first he went to Lord Nityananda and he expressed his desire to leave Jagannath Puri. And Lord Nityananda, of course, he was shocked. And he had so many reasons why he shouldn't leave. But Lord Chaitanya said, Lord Chaitanya understands everything. He's the Lord of the universe. Tavishvesha Vishvatma. He's the Antarami Shakti. He said, on the plea of going to find his brother, Shankaranya, his Vishwarupa, who had taken sannyas, his older brother had taken sannyas. He said he wants to go and find his brother and have some sangha with his brother, his elder brother. But he knew he'd left, he'd passed away. But he said, I want to go and find him. So I have to go to South India. He's somewhere in South India. And Lord Nityananda was saying, you can't go alone. He said, I know all about South India. Lord Nityananda had toured everywhere with this Brahmana. He'd been to South and North, East, West, all over India. He said, I know South India, I can take you to South India. But Lord Chaitanya wasn't interested. And he said, he wants to travel alone. He said, when he first took sannyas, he wanted to go to Vrindavan. And Lord Nityananda took him to Advaita Acharya's house in Shantipur. And he said, then on the way to Jagannath Puri, you broke my danda. And he was going through the list of the devotees. He said, these things are disturbing my mind. That Jagadananda Pandit, he's always trying to make me break my vow of sannyas. So he's always trying to give me a soft cushion, a soft bed to lie on, to rub my head with oil and to do all these things that are not in the part of the sannyas dharma. And this is disturbing my bhajan. I want to travel alone. And Mukunda Datta, even though he doesn't say it, I know that he feels great pain when I execute my vow of sannyas by taking bath 3 times in the cold, in the winter time, and by sleeping on the floor. Mukunda Datta doesn't like that. He understands Lord Chaitanya should have a nice soft bed, a nice facility. But Lord Chaitanya, in this garb of sannyas, he can't accept like that. He has to fulfill his duty, his ashram duty. And like this, he was saying that these devotees, that Damodar Pandit, he's a brahmachari. I'm a sannyasi. Damodar Pandit's a brahmachari, and he holds a stick at me, and he's correcting me for my so-called inappropriate social interactions or etiquette. He's always correcting me. So this is too much. I want to leave Jagannath Puri for some time and be by myself, travel by myself and find my brother. So they went to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and he couldn't bear the thought of separation from Lord Chaitanya. And so he begged him to stay. In the same way that Kunti begged Krishna to stay, he begged him to stay for 3 or 4 more days and to take prasadam in his house. And Lord Chaitanya said, he's a puppet in the hands of his devotees. They would also, every time they would speak to him and beg him to stay or beg him not to go or beg him to take some servants, 3 or 4 servants, or that they could all come with him, they would also introduce their plea with the statement that you are the supreme independent. You're the supreme independent Lord. You'll do whatever you like. I know that. Svatantara. You're independent. But please take me with you. But please take somebody with you. And so he took Kala Krishnadas with him. And then when he was leaving, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya fainted. He collapsed on the ground. And Lord Chaitanya looked at Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, just collapsed on the ground in front of him, left his, like leaving his body. And he walked away. And there in the commentary, Prabhupada says, this is the supreme independent nature of the Lord. That he has this affection for his devotees. His devotees control him to the extent where he'll stay back and to the extent that he'll do anything for his devotees. But he'll also just walk away and leave them, collapse, and not find out if he hurt his head or something happened. He'll just walk away and leave him there. Same thing he did to Gadadhar Pandit many other times. Lord Chaitanya has shown this supreme independent nature of even though it's completely controlled by the devotees, also exhibiting that nature of being independent. Okay, we'll finish here. It's right on time, so no time for questions. One quick question. 30-second one. Jai Jagannath.
Could you please explain that Lord Chaitanya has a very high standard for sannyas, and today sannyasis
have low standards? Are you initiated yet, Jai?
Yeah.
Okay. Who's your guru, Raj? Keep going. Sorry. Why they have such low standards. I think you should ask him tonight. Guru Maharaj, why do you have such low standards in your sannyas ashram? No, it's different standards. I guess Prabhupada's first response to this is Desha Kalapatra, that Lord Chaitanya was living in a different culture, in a different place, in a different time. Even Prabhupada said that the Hari Bhakti Vilas was written. It's a book of all sorts of intricate manners of Vaishnava dealings, in terms of etiquette, in terms of cleaning, in terms of sadhana, in terms of many, many things. And Prabhupada said actually it was written as a response to the Smartha Brahmana community. And he said, it's written for a particular culture, he said, country. He said, outside of India, he said, it's not practical to follow this particular book. He said that, Prabhupada said, that it was written for a particular time and place. And so some things that are done in some countries are not practical. If you walk around the streets in deer barks, you know, with deer bark around your waist, I mean, people will look at you and think you're a bit funny. And you go to the door and you knock on the door of everyone's house and you beg for your spiritual master, they'll move you on pretty quickly. So we adjust the way we interpret or understand. Well, Prabhupada adjusts the way we interpret and understand. And the position of the sannyasi, particularly in this Kali Yuga and this day and age, is to be 100% representative of Krishna, Shakshat Dharitvena, and to give Krishna, and to speak Krishna, and to encourage Krishna, to inspire Krishna, however that may be, in whatever form, whatever dress, whatever vish it takes, it doesn't have to be in sannyas dress even, whatever it is, they're giving people Krishna, and people are making advancement. So that's, it's as high a level as ever, but it's in a different form, you can say.
Setting.
Different setting. I was thinking when Maharaj was speaking the night before, how the whole presentation was just Srimad Bhagavatam. And it was like, this is Srimad Bhagavatam live, as it is. And that consciousness is very penetrating, because we don't have so much Srimad Bhagavatam consciousness. We have different consciousness. And when you get a good dose of Srimad Bhagavatam, when you get a good dose of Krishna, that's Krishna Katha, that everything he spoke was about Krishna or in connection with Krishna, or to support Krishna, Krishna consciousness, then naturally you become enlivened. And that's the real sannyas. Sannyas is to have that. Not that Maharaj sits up there and starts talking all about crazy things, but just talking about Krishna and understanding Krishna and analyzing Krishna, analyzing Srimad Bhagavatam. And therefore we became enlivened. Everybody was happy? Yes. When Lord Chaitanya, how do you, sometimes when we engage, when we perform services, we can become complacent or familiar. You use words familiar with the service, and then we might think that we don't have to be dependent on others or dependent on the authority because I've already got this down. And Vasudev, when Lord Chaitanya liberated this Vasudev in South India, Vasudama in South India, he was a leper. He got this leprosy and then he was freed from it. And actually when Lord Chaitanya had blessed him, he became very beautiful and, you know, like effulgent, Brahmana again. And then he was wondering, how will I not become puffed up now? Because I'm looking good, I'm looking pretty, handsome, and I've got facility back again. Otherwise nobody used to look at me, nobody used to was concerned about me. So Lord Chaitanya said, do two things and you'll always remain dependent and always remain under shelter, ashraya, of the Lord. And one of them was to continue to chant. Always chant the holy name of the Lord. Well, three things he said. To chant the holy name of the Lord and to continue to serve, to act for the benefit of others in devotional service, to do something that's not for your just for you, but it's for Krishna and for his devotees. And then to cultivate this this meditation on Radha and Krishna. But service and chanting the holy name of the Lord, if we continue serving and chanting the name of the Lord, we'll understand that Krishna gave this service. I'm not doing this because I'm so great or because I invented it, but I'm doing this, it's the mercy. Prasadam lebere gopi. Mother Yashoda got this mercy because parishrama, because of her endeavor. Krishna, seeing this, Krishna reciprocated with prasadam, with the mercy. Gave Mother Yashoda the mercy that he didn't give to Shiva, Lord Shiva, he didn't give to Lord Brahma, he didn't give to Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, but he gave to Mother Yashoda. So we will get that mercy when we work hard for Krishna. So continuing to work hard for Krishna. Whatever that work is, physical, mental, intellectual, whatever capacity we have to work for Krishna, work to the max. And we'll understand our dependent nature. We'll remember our dependent nature. Okay. Granta Raja Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jaya Shri Prabhupada Ki Jaya.